This morning I am burdened to try to preach some from the 103rd division of the Psalms of David, Psalm 103, one of the beautiful Psalms written by King David himself. Psalm 103, and beginning in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. We'll stop reading there. There's other verses I'd like to refer to this morning, the Lord willing, but I want us to consider this passage. Bless the Lord. And that word bless basically means to praise the Lord. And this morning I didn't select it, but the first song that was selected this morning was by Fanny Crosby, Praise Him, Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Now, that's a beautiful song. And Fanny Crosby, it makes it a little more special to know who wrote that song, Fanny Crosby. And if you've ever read much about her, you know that she wrote hundreds and hundreds of hymns, beautiful songs. But she was blind in nature. From infancy, she never had any physical vision. But she had, I would say, 20/20 vision in the spiritual realm. And she just wanted to praise the Lord. And that's what David is encouraging us to do in this psalm, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless or praise his holy name. Now, if you notice, David is talking to himself. Do y'all see that? He says to himself, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. How many of y'all ever catch yourselves talking to yourselves? You don't have to admit it, but I suspect you do. I do. David was talking to himself. Now, when we talk to ourselves, it needs to be good self-talk, right? We need to be instructing ourselves in the proper manner. And David is saying to himself, to his soul, bless the Lord. Not complain, not murmur. How many of us do you reckon could go for 24 hours without complaining about anything? Come on now. It would be a challenge, wouldn't it? Don't complain about the weather. Don't complain about your spouse, your kids, your neighbors, your job. Just bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And if you notice, he wants his soul to bless the Lord. And the best definition that I have of the soul is our mind, our will, and our feelings or emotions. We ought to bless the Lord with our thoughts. We ought to have godly thoughts. We ought to have thankful thoughts. And in addition to the mind, the will is involved in the soul, and that is our ability to make choices. How many of y'all make choices? We make hundreds of them every day. You chose what you were going to wear to church this morning. You chose to come to church, which I'm very thankful for. You've already made dozens of choices today. Let's make choices that bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, with my mind, with my will, and with our emotions. Let's not give our feelings over to the devil and the flesh to wallow in bad feelings. Let's just bless the Lord with our emotions. So David would say, bless the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. David is not just content to bless the Lord with his soul. He wants to bless him with everything in him. Did y'all hear that? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Every part of us should be surrendered to God's will and guidance in our lives. The Bible teaches us we have a body, which is a temple or a tabernacle or a tent that we live in. And we've got our tents with us this morning. But we ought to bless the Lord with our bodies. Paul said to the Corinthians, know ye not that you are bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his. My body belongs to Jesus. He bought it and paid for it. Let me tell you this morning, the only way to really determine what something, what the value of something is how much somebody's willing to pay for it. You may have an automobile that you want to sell, and you may have some sentimental ties, and you want to make every dime you can off of it. That's our nature, isn't it? But the car is worth no more than what somebody's willing to pay for it. You may think it's worth $10,000, but you might not get anybody to give you more than $5,000. That's what it's really worth on the market. Well, let me tell you all this morning, you know how valuable you are to God? He was willing to give his only son for you. That's how valuable you are to God. He gave his son, his precious son, his darling son, his beloved son. He gave him willingly to die on the cross for us. Are y'all listening? Are y'all getting? You may have come here today and the devil's been attacking you and telling you how worthless you are. And we know that's true in our flesh. But let me tell you, in the sight of God, you are incredibly valuable. So much so that he gave his son to purchase you. So Paul would say, know ye not that you are not your own? You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is his. So we are made up of body and soul and spirit. And David is saying, everything in me, I want it to bless the Lord. And I don't want to just be a partial worshiper. I don't want to just show up every once in a while to worship God. No, I want everything inside of me to bless the Lord. How many of us today are that committed to our Savior? Everything in me ought to just be praising him. You know, I thought this week, the Bible says the heavens declare something. Do y'all know what the heavens declare? Now he's talking about the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets. You know what they declare? The heavens declare something. They don't declare how great we are. The heavens don't declare how wonderful you and I are. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows forth his handiwork. And you know how often the heavens declare that? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the heavens are declaring the glory of God. You know, that thrills me. Every part of creation that God made is glorifying him. You take a starfish on the ocean or on the beach, and they're pretty little creatures. Did you know they're glorifying their maker, their creator? Probably better than a lot of us are. Let me tell you, creation speaks to us of the majesty and the glory of our God.
And you and I, as His chosen children, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, should surely want to praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And that word benefits there basically means acts of kindness. I was studying that word this morning in the Greek, and the word benefits basically means acts of kindness. How many of y'all today feel like God has been kind to you? I'll have to raise both hands. If I had 1,000 arms, I'd raise them, because I want to tell you, God has been kind to me. And we ought to be blessing Him today for all of His kind acts to us from the moment of our conception until this present hour. And then let's notice, He says, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Beloved, we don't want to forget God, and we certainly don't want to forget His benefits to us. You know, in Jeremiah, I was thinking of this verse this morning. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13, God says to Israel, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." God describes Himself in this passage as a fountain of living waters. Have y'all ever seen an artesian well? Isn't that a sight to see? That water just keeps spewing out of the ground. There was one down at Kite, Georgia, many years ago, and we'd go down to Statesboro to visit my grandmother. We'd always stop at this artesian well, and the water was always pure and cool and refreshing on our way to Statesboro, an artesian well. And God is saying to Israel, He said, "I'm a fountain of living waters in your life, but you have forsaken me, and you've hewn out cisterns." A cistern would be like a water tank. "You've hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Beloved, let's not forsake the God, the fountain of living waters. Are y'all with me today? Don't y'all think we ought to keep Him in mind all the time? Forget not all His benefits. You know, Brother Jordan Smith's wife, Grace, a lady that I loved and esteemed highly, and I always told her, "You were named right." They named her Grace. But in her last years, she had dementia or Alzheimer's. And Brother Jordan kept her at home. She never had to go to a nursing home. But he would say, "I'm losing a little bit of grace every day." You know, that's a sad sickness, isn't it? Dementia. The body's present, but the mind is gone. Well, you know something, beloved? We can have spiritual dementia when we forget God and all His benefits. That's spiritual dementia. How many of y'all want that? I'll tell you, a cure for that is staying in the Word and staying in prayer and just constantly in your mind thanking Him and praising Him and blessing Him for all of His blessings to us in Scripture. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, one time in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, Jesus was on His way somewhere, and there were 10 lepers. Now, a leper was very diseased. Leprosy in the body would cause the limbs to decay and fall off. The fingers would fall off, finally the arms. I've seen pictures of people with leprosy. It was a horrible, dreadful disease, worse than cancer. And these 10 lepers, who were isolated from the public because it was contagious, these 10 lepers heard Jesus was coming their way, and they cried out by faith and said, "Have mercy on us." Y'all remember that? That's a story we need to keep in mind. And you know what? Jesus Christ healed all 10 of those lepers. Now, what if you had leprosy this morning? You couldn't be around your family. You couldn't be at church. You couldn't be around the public. And you had this dreadful disease. And your body was decaying. And your limbs were falling off. And you had sores all over you. And all of a sudden, by miraculous power, you are healed. You reckon you'd forget that? All 10 of them were healed. I think they would represent God's children. We've all been healed from a lot of things. But you know how many of them came back and gave thanks? Now, if y'all don't know this story, you need to read it for yourself. I think it's in Luke chapter 17. Only one out of the 10 came back. And one of the saddest verses in Scripture is where Jesus says, "Were there not 10 healed? Where are the 9? I hope you and I aren't among those 9. I hope you and I are represented by the one who came back and praised him and blessed him and honored him. Beloved, we have so much to be thankful for. Let's not focus on what we don't have and our problems. Let's try to focus on what we do have and on the God of our salvation. And the first news you know, you'll be blessing the Lord yourself. I've told this story a lot of times. It comes to my mind now, but many, many years ago when I was visiting a pastor and a church in Alabama, the pastor said to me, he said, "Brother Sam, we have an old elder in our church, and his name is Goodman. And he's homebound. He can't get out. He's lost both of his legs. And, you know, he's in a wheelchair. But he still has a good mind. And he would love some company. Would you like to go with him?" And I said, "Well, of course. I would enjoy that." We drove up in his front yard. And the grass needed to be cut. And there was a ramp. But it needed attendance. And my heart just went out to Brother Goodman. And I thought, what a sad situation this is. And, you know, I just felt sorry for him. We got in the house and he was sitting there waiting on us. And he was sitting in a wheelchair. And he had a little TV tray by his chair. And he had his Bible opened. And he was ready to discuss Scripture. And he said, "Brethren, I just am so thankful y'all would think of me today and come to see me." He said, "God has been so good to me." He said, "I can still see and hear." And he said, he'd had a stroke and his left hand and arm was paralyzed. But he said, "You know, I can still use my right hand. I can bathe myself. I can shave myself." Are y'all getting this? Just see him sitting there praising God. And I drove up feeling sorry for him. That man had vision to see how blessed he was. Don't let the devil blind you to what you have in the favor of God. Are y'all listening today? I hope every one of us will leave here today just praising God and thanking him and counting our many blessings and name them one by one. Somebody sent me a text this week and said, "You and Nelda have had a season of sickness, but we've had a season of car trouble." And they have. They've had 3 vehicles to break down on them. One of them now, the transmission is gone. Now that's trouble. When you got cars that won't run, that's provoking. It's kind of aggravating to the flesh. But I suggested that they count their many blessings. Name them one by one. And it'll surprise you what the Lord has done. And I got a good response. You know, you preach everywhere you can. You know, if you're a preacher, you're supposed to preach all the time everywhere you go. I preach to myself a lot. And I know some of you are saying, "You need it, Brother Sam." Well, I do, and I try to preach to myself the truth of God's Word. That old Brother Goodman stayed in my mind. Instead of feeling sorry for him, I left there kind of feeling sorry for myself that I didn't have eyes to see the blessings of God on this earth. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's not be like the 9 lepers who forgot about Jesus and went on their way enjoying good health. No, we don't want to get in that condition. Now, let's go back just a moment to Psalm 103 and let's look. Let's see, verse 3, who forgiveth all our iniquities and healeth all our diseases. How many of our iniquities does God heal? All of them. You know, the devil, if you'll let him, he'll get in your head and start trying to remind you of all your past sins and failures and such. And the Apostle Paul had a lot of them from his past. But you know what he said in Philippians? He said, forgetting those things which are behind. I'm going to forget. There were people who tried to remind him of taking part in Stephen's execution. I'm sure there were people who would bring up how he persecuted the church. But he needed to forget all that. Because you see, all that was under the blood of Jesus. And Paul says, who forgiveth all our iniquities and healeth all our diseases. Oh, there's so many more wonderful verses in this psalm. But I want to come now and notice with you in verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You know, I had read that verse and I really didn't pay it much attention until when I was a young man, I heard Brother Sonny Piles tell what he thought about that verse. He was at a car wash in Dallas, Texas, washing his car, and across the street there was a big globe. You know, you'll see globes of the planet Earth. And he got to looking at that globe, and he got to thinking about this verse. Now, how far is it from the east to the west? See, God has taken our sins and put them as far from us as what? The north from the south? No. The east from the west. And Brother Sonny pointed out that east never meets west and west never meets east. I tell you, brother, I rejoiced in that. See, you could start going east on a jet plane going 600 miles an hour. Robbins feels best. Robbins Airfield's best jet. Get in it and head east and fly for 1,000 years and you'll still be going east, right? Because you can't go west by going east. East never meets west. Now you can start out at the North Pole and go south, and if you get down to the South Pole and keep on, you'll be going north. God didn't say, I'm going to separate your sins as far as the north is from the south, but as far as the east is from the west. Does that make y'all happy this morning? You'll never see your sins in eternity. They're gone. Jesus paid it all. All the debt I owe. And that's what Paul is saying here. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father. Now listen to this. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame and remembereth that we are what? Gold and silver? No, we're dust. Y'all do know what you're made out of, don't you? Y'all remember? God reached down and took some dust and made Adam out of it. He didn't make him out of snow. He didn't make him out of gold. He made him out of dust. And our frame is but dust. But like as a father pitieth his children, so the Father pitieth them that fear him. Are y'all glad this morning that our God has pity on us? I've heard people say, I don't want your pity. Well, I want God's pity. How many of y'all would agree with that? I want his pity. And the Bible says, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Let me tell you, beloved, God is our Father. I told Nelda this morning coming to church that of all the great truths that are revealed in this Bible, to me, probably the most profound of all the truths is that the eternal God is our Father. He's eternal. He came from nowhere. He's going nowhere. He knows where every atom is in the universe. And there's probably millions of atoms in this songbook. God knows where every atom is. He knows where every drop of water is in the oceans of this earth. He's God. He's incomprehensible. He spoke the universe into existence. And yet, He says, I'm your Father. Wow. Are y'all with me today? And how did you get to be His Father? Not by anything you did, but it's what He did when He chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world, and gave you to His darling Son. And His Son said, Father, I'll go, and I'll take their place, and I'll die for them on the cross, and I'll pay their debt in full. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Oh, my soul, all that is within me, bless His holy name. Like as a father pitieth his children. That reminds me of the father in Luke chapter 15 who had two sons. And one of them said, give me my inheritance. And he got it. And after many days, he took off and he wasted it in riotous living. I mean, it was all gone. Every dime he inherited was wasted on riotous living. And finally, when he came to himself, he said, I'm going home. In my father's house, there are servants that had plenty to eat and more. And see, he would have eaten the husk that the hogs wouldn't eat, and his master wouldn't let him. Let me tell you, when you get hungry, that'll get your attention. God has used famines in history to bring attention to himself. Well, I want to tell you, that boy came to himself when he was hungry. And he said, I'm going home and I'm going to tell my daddy, Daddy, I'm not worthy to be a son. Just make me. Maybe somewhere in daddy's household, he can find a place to hire me as a servant. That's all I'm worthy of. Just make me a servant. And you know what? Are y'all with me? Are y'all? Please look at this. The Bible says, when he went back home, his daddy saw him a far way off. Daddy was sitting on the front porch looking in the direction that boy had gone. Now the neighbors might have said, let him go. Cousins might have said it. He just lived so bad, let him go. But not daddy. No, he had a father's heart. And when he saw that boy coming, you know what the Bible says? That Jewish father got up and ran to where his son was. Probably covered in hog mud. Broke. Ashamed. But you know what the father did? He had pity on him. He put a ring on his finger and a robe on his back and shoes on his feet. And he killed the fatted calf. And he made merry. Let me tell you this morning, if you've ever been the prodigal, and the word prodigal means wasteful, and I have been, and I suspect some of you have been, I want you all to know your heavenly Father has pity on us. Now, the daddy didn't go try to get him, because if he had gone and put him in handcuffs and brought him back, his body would have been back at the house, but his heart wouldn't have been there. The daddy waited. The daddy just waited until he came to himself. How many of us today need to come to ourselves and recognize how needful we are? You know, being a father is a wonderful blessing in this world. I can testify to that. I want to tell you, one of the greatest joys of my life was having children and seeing them grow up to love the Lord and to love me. And I tell you, that's a great blessing. And children, I want to tell you, the Bible says children are an heritage of the Lord.
as arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of their youth. You and I as parents have the job to point our children. Like an archer would take a bow, an arrow, and put it in the bow and aim it, you and I as parents have a responsibility to give our children direction. Are y'all listening? Sobering responsibility to bring a child into this world. I went into Jack's this morning, and there were two men working in there, and I said, are y'all daddies? They said, yeah. I said, well, happy Father's Day. And one of them said, that's a good spirit. I mean, he went to bed at 1 o'clock last night, he told me, and got up at 3. He wasn't in the best of moods, but I did say, happy Father's Day. And that put a smile on his face. It's a wonderful blessing to be a father and a mother. And our children are a blessing to us. And you know, the Bible teaches us to be humble. And children can help us be humble. Have y'all noticed that? This little boy asked his daddy, said, Daddy, did you go to church when you were a little boy? He said, yes, sir, every Sunday. And the little boy said, well, I bet you it doesn't do me any good either. Children do have a way of bringing us down, don't they? One preacher who had preached on kindness one day got in the car to go home, and somebody pulled out in front of him, and he started yelling and saying, you jerk, what are you doing on the highway? You need to get off. You don't deserve to have driver's license. Just went on and on. And the little boy in the back seat said, now another kind word from your pastor. Children do know how to humble us, don't they? They're a blessing. And you know what? Children, it doesn't matter if it's the president's kid, the king's kid. Did you know there's one person on earth can go get King Charles in the middle of the night to give him a drink of water? You know who that is? One of his grandkids. Nobody else could do it, but the kids can. You're God's little children. And don't let the devil rob you of that truth. And if you've been a wayward prodigal, I want to just encourage you to come back home. You'll find love there. You'll find safety. Are y'all with me today? May God help us all. You know, He shows pity. I know all of us know Amazing Grace, one of our great hymns. Written by John Newton. Newton was a great sinner. He bought and sold Africans on the slave market. He could curse so bad in London that the harlots blushed when the man cursed. But God dealt with him and saved him by His grace and changed him. And he became a great hymn writer and a pastor in London, England. And you know, he lost his vision late in life. Couldn't see. But he said this. I love this. He said, there's one thing I can see clearly. God is a great Savior, and I am a great sinner. How many of y'all can see that? Brother Ricky Harcrow in the funeral Friday said he asked Brother Jordan, said, why don't you join the church? He said, I'm not worthy. Ricky said, I know that. None of us are worthy. How many of y'all are worthy to be a member of the church? How many of y'all are worthy to go to heaven? It's by His pity, His grace, His mercy. I tell you, we've got a glorious God. We're here today to praise Him. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. What are y'all going to do the rest of this day? You're going to complain about something? If you do, this preaching's all been in vain. Let's just go out and praise the Lord.